The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Close your eyes and pull like dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star and I'm joined by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarthy. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. The Star Sport podcast is brought to you in association with our friends at Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, where your bank really does matter. Choose the credit union, choose local, choose community. On this week's podcast, we'll be joined by nine-time All-Ireland winning Cork Camogie legend Gemma O'Connor to chat about her new autobiography, Why Not a Warrior? O'Connor, who also won 11 All-Stars during her illustrious playing days, has been chatting to Ger McCarthy about her remarkable career. But Kieran, before we dive into that conversation with Gemma, a quick roundup of some of the big West Cork sporting stories making the headlines this week. And first off, we're going to look at Glengariff's Dara McIlhenny, who continued his journey to becoming one of Ireland's best ever athletes by claiming his first national senior title at the 123.ie National Cross Country Championships at Rosapenna Hotel and Golf Club in County Donegal last Sunday afternoon.
It was almost a homecoming of sorts for Dara because the McIlhennys have strong connections to Donegal, and I think they stayed in their cousin's holiday home half an hour from Rosapenna, and there was a lot of family and relations there to cheer on Dara last Sunday, including, as he told me on Monday, cousins from Ballybuffet that he never knew even existed. But these McIlhennys from Ballybuffet turned up at the course on Sunday, claiming to be the McIlhenny cousins. So the more the merrier, he said. Everyone aboard the Dara McIlhenny fan train, because it's growing bigger and it's getting faster. And it was another sensational day for Dara, and he just turned 22 earlier this month. And I always keep that in context with Dara because he's still so young and he's only a senior a couple of years. But that was Dara's first ever senior men's Irish cross-country title. And that's his third now. It's a hat-trick of Irish senior men's titles this year. He won the indoor 2,000 metre back in February. He won the outdoor 5,000 metre in June. And now he has the cross-country 10,000 metre men's senior title. So that's an incredible haul for the 1 year. Not to mention his six PBs. So Dara's after a sensational season and he's not finished yet, because just hot off the press today was the news that Dara McIlhenny and Jane Buckley, the Newstone athlete, have both been picked on the Athletics Ireland team that's travelling to the European Cross Country Championships in Italy. They're racing on a course outside Turin on December 11th. And if we think back to last year, Dara won individual men's silver at under 23 level in those Europeans and led the Irish team to team gold. And he's gunning for gold. He's gunning for glory. He's hoping for his own very own Italian job in Turin in 2 weeks' time. And he is in the right form. So another memorable weekend, another weekend of McIlhenny magic.
Yeah, and Kieran, like Joe, there's no secret that we're huge fans of Dara on this podcast, and he's had some massive moments already in his young career. But this was a bit of a star-making turn in Donegal, because if you were on social media across the weekend, in particular on Sunday, you were hearing about Dara's win, because his head-to-head against the athlete who finished in second place, whose name escapes me now, you'll tell us in a moment, but that was a real ding-dong. And Dara, he seemed to bide his time, wait for his moment, and when he knew the moment was right, he struck and he never let up, and he led the whole way home in what was an extremely exciting race. And you don't have to be an expert in athletics to enjoy that last 800 metres or so.
I've seen it described as a coming of age performance for Dara, and it certainly was. So the athlete you're talking about is Hiko Tinoso Hasso, who actually beat Dara to the men's senior title last year. So while Dara won the men's under-23 gold at last year's National Cross Country Championships, he finished second in the men's senior because Hasso beat him. But Dara turned the tables on him on this year, and it was such a mature run from Dara. So he was telling me he was pretty happy with the pace. The pace was 3 minutes per kilometre, and for him that's slow, but he was happy with how the race was progressing. And then with 600 or 700 metres to go, that's when Hasso made his move. He made a burst, but Dara went with him and Dara passed him out. And there was a hill just by the finish, and Dara was very, very strong in the hills, and he was at his advantage, and he pulled out a lead, and he literally ran down the hill and he coasted home to a 4 second victory then. So it was a really impressive run, really, really impressive. That, like I said, he's only 22, but he's such a mature athlete at this stage because this is his third season at senior level. And tactically, he's just getting it right, and he's getting very comfortable in these big races. So you can see why people are so excited about Darren McElhinney. Like, he's breaking record after record, and he's really maturing into the best middle distance male runner in Ireland right now. And what's so exciting, he's just so young. Like, his best is yet to come. And what Darren's done so cleverly over the last couple of years, he's built up his training. Like, in the last training block, he was running 100 miles a week. And he said he could have done that when he was 16 or 17, and possibly he could have had better results when he was 16 or 17 then, but that's not sustainable. So Dara's kind of, he's building and building, and the results are getting better, and we know the best is yet to come. And now we're even here in Paris Olympics in 2024, because Dara's going to be finishing up in college in UCD quite soon. He's going to become a full-time athlete, and then we could see even more improvement from that. So it's just a very exciting time for Dara.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can read more about Dara's latest success in this week's Southern Star, another West Cork athlete making waves on the highest level of his sport, is Kinsale's John Murphy. He's this week's cover story in the Southern Star. And Kieran, he secured his European Tour card for 2023 with a stunning 6-under par final round at qualifying school in Tarragona near Barcelona last week. And again, another West Cork athlete who you can really say sky is the limit. And this was a massive moment for John in his young professional golfing career.
Oh, 100%, Jack. And I think what's so impressive about this is that John Murphy, he delivered when the pressure was the greatest. So he shot the last 12 holes in his final round 6-under par. Like, that's incredible. And I was talking to him last weekend. He was home for a couple of days before he flew out to South Africa, where he's competing in Johannesburg this week. I think it's the Joburg Open that's probably starting on Thursday. But he was telling me that when he started his final round, he was thinking in his head, okay, 6 or 7 under par will get me where I need to be. Yet with 12 holes to go, like, he was still a good bit off where he thought he needed to be. So to pull out those final 12 holes, it was just shows the mentality of John to go, obviously, with the talent that he has. And even when he was on the 17th, he was thinking to himself, okay, I probably need a birdie and a par from here. And again, he delivered. So I think that says a lot about the strong mentality that John has. And he was very pleased with that, because he said there's been moments this year when he's gone into the last round in contention where it just hasn't worked out for him. So for him to turn up on such an important round and deliver, what was it, the 65 that saw him get that top 25 finish and earn that DP World Tour card, it's just a huge moment for him, because what it does now, it gives John Murphy security for next year. He's in with the big boys now. Look who won the DP World Tour last weekend, Rory McIlroy. Look who was on Twitter last weekend welcoming John Murphy to the DP World Tour. It was Shane Lowry. So that just shows the company that John will be keeping himself in 2023. So huge moment for him. And I have to mention too, his caddy, Shane O'Connell. He's another Kinsale man who came on the bag with John last year when John turned pro. And this is a great story too, because these two fellas go back a long way. John was telling me that they grew up 100 yards from each other. They went to school together. They were teammates. They're obviously friends. They're golf nuts. And now together they're sharing this remarkable journey. And I was talking to John last weekend when he was on his way down from Dublin Airport in the car, and Shane was in the car with him, and you could hear the crack by the two lads. You know, they've really had a they've really been enjoying this year. It's been a real adventure by the two of them. And now the big adventure is starting. They're heading off to the DP World Tour. And what I liked about John is that he was full of praise for Shane, because you read about it in Thursday Southern Star. He said that he shot 411 shots at the qualifying school last week. And had he hit 412 shots, he wouldn't have got his DP World Tour card for 2023. And he puts down that small bit of a difference to Shane O'Connell walking the course in the evening, checking where the pins are, looking for those one percenters. So this is a Kinsale dream team that's delivered, and it's another good West Cork sports story.
Absolutely brilliant. We look forward massively to following their journey on the DP World Tour next season. And as I mentioned, John is the cover star of this week's Southern Star sports section. So don't forget to pick up a copy of that one. The last West Cork sports story that we're going to touch on this week is Iban Gales, who won the Carbery Clonamilk under 21A final after a classic encounter in which it finished 120 to 313 over Noosestown. Iban Gales, for those who don't know, is an amalgamation of Barry Rowe and Argadine Rangers. And the star on the day was Ryan O'Donovan, who kicked 9 points. So here, this is a massive result for Iban and the two amalgamated clubs.
Huge for Iban. They've now completed the Carbery under 21 double. They won the A hurling final earlier in the year, and they beat Noosestown as well. So for Noosestown, Iban seemed to be their bogey team. But you're right too, Jack. This was a classic. What an epic way to bring down the curtain on the Carbery under 21 football championship. It went all the way to extra time. But like the story of the game, at one point in the second half, Iban Gales were 10 points up in Noosestown, and they looked home and hose. But back came Noosestown, and they actually hit the front in normal time. And it took a clutch kick from Ryan O'Donovan to force extra time. And then in extra time, Ryan O'Donovan came up. He came up trumps again, and he finished with 9 points. Dara Holland kicked 6 points. Sean Walsh scored a goal. Olin O'Donovan weighed in with 2 points. So very much a team effort from Iban Gales. But they'll really celebrate this. They'll really celebrate this win. It's one they've been looking for a long time, because this, like you said, it's Barry Rowe and Argadine together, like two good West Cork clubs. And for Iban Gales now to be the Carbery under-21 hurling and football champions, it's a really proud moment for the club. And in Thursday Southern Star, Iban manager Paul Holland, he hails what he called a special group of lads. He said they had to come back and win this game twice. You know, like they thought they had won the first time. Noosestown came back, they had to go again, and then they produced the goods an extra time. So a real classic, a real epic, and we have a big spread in Thursday Southern Star. So for fans of Iban Gales, for fans of Argadine Rangers and Barry Rowe, you have to pick up this Thursday Southern Star. It's a collector's item.
Absolutely. And in an era where rural depopulation is always a huge topic, this is a great advert for GA Club amalgamation. So congratulations to all the lads involved. And again, as Kieran mentioned, big spread in this week's Southern Star sports section. Kieran, lastly, before we hear from Gemma O'Connor, this isn't West Cork related at all, but we have to make some mention of the World Cup, which is ongoing in Qatar at the minute. The group stages are well underway at this stage. As we record, Germany have just been beaten by Japan in an absolute belter of a game. The winning goal from Japan was just sensational. He plucked the ball out of the air over his right shoulder from a ball that came down with snow on it. Just one of those classic World Cup moments. The Japanese players and fans in raptures. So I'm on a high after that game. What's your own experience been of the World Cup so far? Have you been enjoying it? Have you been boycotting it? Have you turned a blind eye? Have you been working too hard? You haven't got a chance to sit down yet. What's your overall World Cup 2022 experience been to date?
The beauty of working from home is that there's a TV on in the background all the time. So I've been very flexible with my work this week as I suck in the World Cup and obviously put my full attention on the Southern Star sport. But the football's been enjoyable so far. That Saudi Arabia match winner was a classic moment. But what I enjoyed was the videos on social media after of the Saudi Arabia fans celebrating, whether it was a fan ripping the door off his house or some fella taking an AK-47 to the sky in Saudi Arabia. Or there was another video of a Saudi Arabian fan I think he gate crashed a TV interview asking, where is Messi? Where is Messi? So there's been, the football itself has been kind of, to be fair, it's been quite entertaining. I'm presuming England will start to get carried away with themselves after beating Iran 6-2. So there's been some big shocks there, and it's just starting to take off. But then you have the other side of it. What I've found, I don't know if this is amusing to word, but when we're getting the official attendances for games, when they're actually bigger than the capacity of the stadiums themselves, you're thinking, Jesus, there's something not right here, because I'm not sure how many sellouts there have been, but there have been record crowds at these games, and so they're obviously squashing these fans into the stadiums. But what's been interesting too is the amount of at a time. Like, they've really, that's actually something I'm quite happy with, because we know when you're watching the Premier League and so on, you get 2 or 3 minutes at the end of every half and you're kind of frustrated saying, Jesus, player X was down there for 2 minutes, or Ronaldo was rolling around for 7 minutes there while he was talking to Piers Morgan. But what we have now is we actually have proper 7, 8, 9 minutes added on to the end of each half. And I hope that's something that we see go back into the Premier League and go back into the Champions League, because it might stop Villa's time wasting. So that there's been some positives to the on-field action.
Yeah, just on the added time then, because obviously if you're supporting a Japan or a Saudi Arabia, you're very disappointed to see 7 minutes going up at the end of a half. But I would do away with stoppage time altogether and just bring in stop clocks like they have in rugby. It makes totally more sense, I think, to do it in ladies football and camogie as well, because then there can be no misgivings about the amount of time added up. But I take your point. It has been an improvement on what we get week to week in the Premier League and the Champions League, especially when there's a head injury and they are literally down for 14 minutes. There, of course, should be 14 minutes added on. On the false attendances front, what it's reminded me of, and I know I've mentioned it a bunch of times on this podcast over the years, but Vince McMahon in the WWE, before he was famously forced out the door a la Ronaldo recently by Manchester United, he would always inflate the attendances of WrestleMania by 20, 30, 40,000. So a new record for the crowd here at WrestleMania, and it would be way over the capacity of the stadium. So I think since he's left WWE, has he been hired by either Qatar or FIFA to record the attendances? Because 41,000 in a 38,000 seater stadium when there's clearly 10,000 empty seats is quite something. But other than that controversy, I wouldn't call that one a controversy in comparison to some of the other ones, it's been a good start to the tournament, I would say, if you're only interested in the football. If you're interested in other aspects of it, I don't know, that's your own business. We won't get into that on this week's podcast. Maybe at a later date when we're running out of West Cork sports stories to talk about. But we're going to take a quick break now, and coming up next, Joe McCarthy is chatting to Cork camogie legend Gemma O'Connor about her new autobiography, Why Not a Warrior?
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Now, as I mentioned before the break, we're going to hear from Cork camogie legend Gemma O'Connor in a moment, who's been chatting to Joe McCarthy about her new autobiography, Why Not a Warrior? But before we hear that conversation, Kieran, Joe McCarthy has also been writing about other sports books in this week's Southern Star. It's an annual tradition at this stage where Joe picks his top 10. So maybe just give a little plug to that piece to listeners this week, because it's Christmas shopping season and people are probably going to want to buy a book for the sports lovers in their lives.
Joe's done this list over the last couple of years and it's proved quite popular. So in terms of Southern Star, he's listing off 10 different sports books that you can either buy for yourself or buy for the sports fan in your life, or buy for someone's Christmas stocking. But there's some really good titles in there. And of course, Jor has mentioned his own book, Cork LGFA Game of My Life. But in fairness, I did give him permission. I did give him the green light to put his own book in
number
there.
One.
So, and it's in at number one. So,
and to be fair, I don't want to be seen to be sagging Jor. I have read a good portion of this book and it is very good. So yeah, definitely deserves its spot, Jer. In case you're listening and you think we're being harsh, deserves its spot, 100%.
Jor took the invite and he ran with it, putting his own book at number one. But I can't blame the man because it is a good book. And there's some really good books inside there too. Of course, Dennis Hurley's Game of My Life with the Cork Hurling makes it in there. I'm not going to give too many more, but one that I like inside there is The Jersey. It's about the All Blacks. It's the secret behind the world's most successful team. That book makes the list. As does Jim O'Connor's book, Why Not a Warrior? And this was written with Sinead Farrell at the 42 and published by Hero Books, who also bring out the Game of My Life series. So being the kind sports editor that I am, I arranged for two authors from Hero Books to have a chat with each other. So Joe McCarthy caught up with Jim O'Connor to chat about her book, what it means. And I also asked him to get Jim's thoughts and Libby Coppinger, the St. Columb's Jewel Star, who is up for a Camogie All-Star this weekend. The Camogie All-Stars have been announced this weekend. And if Libby Coppinger does not get an All-Star, we will march on Croke Park. But first, let's listen to Jor and Jimmy.
Now, it is a huge thrill here on the Southern Star podcast to be joined by one of Cork Camogie and the Camogie Associations, and she won't like me for saying it, but a legend of the game, 9-time All-Ireland senior winner, 11-time All-Star, and on top of all of that, in the middle of everything that she achieved on the pitch, a soldier in the Irish Army. She also has a new book out that's out this Christmas. It's published by Hero Books, and I'm three quarters of the way through it, and I can already recommend it heartily because it is a really honest and a brilliant read. It's called Why Not a Warrior? It's an association with the 42 that is written by with Sinead Farrell, but it's all about Gemma O'Connor. And Gemma, you're very welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good, Stuart. It's all good. It's quite busy. It's been a hectic few weeks, but it's all positive. It's good. It's great.
It is indeed. Congratulations on the book. As I said, I'm nearly towards the end of it, and it's a page turner. It's just brilliantly put together about your sporting career, your personal life, your time in the army. So much to get through. We won't be able to touch on all of it today, but a simple question to start. Why did you decide, along with Sinead, to put your story in a book? Because it's a big step and it's not an easy thing to do, but why did you decide to do that from day one?
I was quite reluctant to do it from day one. When I was approached to it, I never thought I'd be approached to do a book. I know I spent a long time in the red jersey, and I suppose, you know, people might be fascinated from that point of view. But it's not just about Camogie, it's about everything. It's about life in general, it's about my career on and off the pitch. So life in the red jersey touches on my club. It touches on my career in the Defence Forces. It showcases that. It's about, you know, the hardships on and off the field, you know, whether, you know, it's about bereavement and sadness and grief and heartache, and it goes on about sexuality. And I suppose the reason I did that really was, I suppose I saw it as an opportunity to put Camogie up on a platform to, you know, put a book out there, and I suppose the first thing about it is that it's a book about Camogie, but it's not about just Camogie, it's about the player and what's behind the player. And I suppose I saw it as an opportunity to do it to help maybe one or two people out there that might be struggling with their identity or their sexuality, or, you know, that are going through hardships in life, like grief or bereavement and things like that. Or, you know, so that's what the book is about. It's kind of like a 360 view on my life. And you know, it's it was quite daunting to be personal about some things, but you know, it would have been easy just to kind of fade into the background and say no to these things. But I suppose I kind of did it from a point of view just to kind of showcase Camogie and maybe just to kind of help one or two people out there.
Yeah, I think your honesty shines through on every page, and it's a credit to you and a credit to Sinead the way you've managed to put it. And there's a lot of young boys and girls, if they read this book, will benefit from it, not just from a sporting perspective, but from the honesty of somebody that's willing to bare their soul, which I always say to people when they're writing books. I know all about that from writing other similar books. It's a big step, Gemma. And like, I'm delighted you did it because you've got a unique story. And we don't have time to cover your entire career in the army, but the fact that you were so willing to talk openly about it, can I ask you, once you'd gone through the process and the book was on the way, were you nervous? And what was it like when you finally got your hands on that book? And like, the reaction has been overwhelmingly positive so far, as I said. But from your own personal point of view, I mean, you must have been nervous picking up the book and going, okay, here we go.
Oh, yeah, for definite. Like, for sure, I was definitely 100% nervous. Like, it is quite daunting, and I won't lie, there was a few times that I was there thinking to myself, especially when I was overseas, and you know, we were doing a lot of Zooms with Sinead, and you know, when in order to put pen to paper and stuff, and some things might be in the book or whatever, but you have to kind of, like, I suppose, be really truthful and honest, and you're kind of reflecting a lot on your life, like, and it's sometimes they're hard to talk about them or speak about them, and I suppose there was times there where I felt like, oh, maybe I want to pull out of this, you know, I'm not quite sure about putting, you know, pen to paper on such things that are personal and that are, I suppose, that are dear to me. But yeah, look, I'm delighted that it's done now, and then finally going through the edits and all that, and then getting to physically hold the book. It was quite nerve-wracking, to be honest.
I know the feeling. Yeah. I'm delighted you did it.
You're not sure really what to expect. You know, like, you know, the a run of the mill person like anybody else. I'm not some type of, you know, A-lister Hollywood celebrity that's there trying to make millions or something. Mm. You know, we play an amateur sport. We go through the hardships and the ups and downs of life like everybody else. And I suppose it's just showcasing in the book that, like, life is hard and it's also great, and it's like, you know, it's the same for a lot of people, you know, behind closed doors. It's not just about being on the pitch, it's about everything else. I would say to that,
yeah, I always marvel when I talk to people like yourself, sports people like yourself, and Rena Buckley and Valerie Mulcahy. I'd have you up there on that pantheon alongside those players as well. How humble you are about the whole thing, because I say 9 All-Irelands, I say 11 All-Stars, it's almost like flippant to say it, it's like a number. But to achieve that level of success, you have to be unbelievably dedicated. You have to be unbelievably, you know, your private life and your personal life has to be put on hold, as you know. But you also, for you and the people that I mentioned there, to be so humble about it. And that's another thing that shines through from the book. You're not shouting from the rooftops, look what I've won. You're actually talking to the person that's reading the book and saying, these are the hardships and the highs, and you had plenty lows too, as you outline in the book, to get to the promised land of winning an All-Ireland. And then when you win an All-Ireland, that's not enough. I want to win it again. So there's, I see the humbleness in you, but I also see the warrior, and it's a great title for the book, because you have to be a warrior to be in the army, but you also have to be a warrior if you're a Cork senior camogie player, because you came up against some of the best players of your generation to win those All-Irelands. Is there a game that sticks out? Is there a moment from all that career that you can think of, you know, that comes to you quickly? Mightn't have been an All-Ireland final winning game, but a moment when you kind of said, that's the one that comes to my mind. That's the one that I go back to a lot.
I suppose there's a lot of games that kind of stand out, and then there's a lot of years that kind of go into one. And I suppose you can talk about a few All-Irelands that stand out. Like, I remember, was it 2016? Which ended up being a disaster of a year, and for us, All-Ireland wise, we lost, I got sent off. I think that was the year that we played Wexford in a repeat, and like, those games were so intense, like, they were like non-stop, you know, end-to-end pitch stuff. And anybody that follows Camogie and knows Wexford Camogie, they're a massive goal scoring team, and they're like, it's just, you know, playing that centre back, trying to keep them out, and, you know, to finally pick those games in the end, you know, it's things like that you just love. Like, that's why you just love playing it. It's hard, it's just tenacious from start to finish. You're absolutely exhausted, but, like, obviously when you're on the winning side at the end, it's completely worth it. I suppose when you lose those games, then you're kind of questioning everything, but, you know, there's fine margins. And I suppose in Camogie, there's such a small group that are able to play at that level, and there's literally, I suppose, when you're talking about at the semi-final stages and the other arm final stages, you're talking about 2 or 3 points between each team, like, you know. And there's nothing really between those teams, so that's why when you win them, it's the very sweet to win.
Something I picked up on as well from the book, when you're in the army, and I've no idea, but when you're in the army, the bond you form with the people standing next to you, men and women, in very dangerous situations where you might be shot at or you might be blown up, it's not flippant to say that, you develop a deep bond. I think the most normal Joe Soaps like myself don't understand. You hear it, and you hear people in the army talking about it. Those bonds that you formed in the army, the bonds you formed in the dressing room, are the things you talk about and the people you met and the players that you loved playing alongside, and then the Warriors that you were up against, the likes of Ursula Jacobs and all those great players. The bond in the dressing room was as important as any All-Ireland medal to you, I would imagine. And how much of the bond that you formed in the army helped you? And did it go both ways?
Yeah, like without a bond or a sense of camaraderie or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be this massive friendship where, like, you have to be best friends with everybody in the team. But I think it's really and truly important to have, you know, respect for each other. Like, and when you're going out playing, you know, it's about playing for the person next to you, in front of you, behind you and all that, and having that respect for that person. And forming those bonds are, you know, without them really, like, you're not really going to be successful, you know. Human talent will only bring you so far. Like, so they're completely important, and you're putting your trust in that person. You're putting your trust in that person to do the right thing on when you go training, when you finish training. So, you know, particularly have a good diet, not to you know, to go out on social occasions when the night before games or things like that, you know, to look after yourself and to have the right attitude. And it's the very same in the defence forces. Like, we do nothing without each other, and there's no such thing as doing anything really particularly by yourself. Yeah, you might have your own individual jobs, but you're working along somebody. There's a team around you 24/7. And it's the same when we go overseas. You know, we farm up. It's a thing, it's called a farm up phase. And, you know, you farm up a couple of months, 2 or 3 months before you deploy overseas. And you might be with people that you've trained with or that you work with. And the majority of people you've never even seen or met before. So that farm up phase is an opportunity for everybody to get to know each other. And, you know, when you meet somebody at the start, you might say, oh, I'm going to be spending 6 months with these people, I don't even know them. But over the course of those weeks before you're deployed, you form excellent friendships, or, you know, as you said, a bond with people. So then when you're deployed overseas, you've trained together, now you're living together or rooming together, or, you know, you're in the same camp together or whatever the case may be. And that's what it's all about, you know. It's all about teamwork really at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I can see that. I can see the soldier in you talking there and the player at the same time. That's what makes the book beautifully unique, in that, you know, you have that background and you've been able to tap into both. There's too many people in the book to touch upon now who are influences on your career, but one I want to talk about is Paddy Murray. Somebody I've got, I have a huge amount of respect for. And one of the things I love about the book are the interactions between you and the players, and the kind of the shouting and the roaring at each other, which is purely natural. It happens. It's beautifully put. If nothing else, I would recommend it to buy the book for those. Yeah. Talk to me about Paddy, when Paddy came in as manager, briefly, about what he did and how he did it to make Cork, you know, what they were.
Yeah, like, it was very exciting when, you know, we kind of found out about Paddy coming on board. I think Cork at the time was needed a kind of a jump in terms of, how would you say, professionalism, if you want to call that, a different approach. We needed that jump. We needed somebody to take the reins and kind of grab Cork Camogie by the scruff of the neck and kind of, you know, give us that extra lift like we needed to get to the next level. So when Paddy came in, he changed the face of Cork Camogie. I think for that period in time, he's extremely professional. He's a certain set of standards. I always say he's a very controversial character. Not everyone likes him. He knows that too. And he's no problem about, you know, knowing that or whatever. But, you know, I think the one thing that you can't fault Paddy for is his effort to Cork Camogie and what he's put in for the last few years. It's second to none. And, yeah, we're very grateful for that. Like, without that, we wouldn't have won the All-Irelands that we've won with him, you know. So, you know, we've a unique relationship. I always say we've massive respect for each other, but we've no better giving out to each other either, like, attending each other as it is. So, but there's a fine line there. When I'm with Paddy, he's the manager, and that's his call. Me as a player, and I firmly believe as a player, you have a right to speak. Obviously, you say it in a kind of a respectful way and things like that. But, you know, you kind of have to, it has to be a two-way relationship, and not be afraid to put the hand up and say, look, maybe I don't agree with that, or why is this happening? But at the end of the day, it's their call. And I think you just have to respect that.
Yeah, well, that's clear, well put again. And with somebody like Paddy, from interviewing him down through the years, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it is a two-way thing when it comes to respect. But yeah, I think he came along at just about the right time for you and that particular group of players as well. And look, it worked out well from that point. One person I did want to talk to you about briefly, because I mentioned influences, and I know it might be, you know, an emotional subject for you, is your mother. Because I mean, everybody loves their mother. And everybody, you know, she was clearly a huge influence on you, to put it mildly, Gemma. But not just her influence, but just, I think, her presence in your head, if I make sense. You know, I get the impression you were on the pitch, and maybe you were in situations, maybe in the army, where you were kind of going, you know, you could hear your mother talking to you, because I know myself what that like. Am I right there? And how much of a character was she?
Like, even I went overseas just recently, came back in May. It was my first overseas trip since 2013, so there was a big gap there. Mainly because my mother passed away, my mom passed away, and I suppose I had different priorities. I was playing hockey, I was doing courses at home, and I was mandatory selected then to go overseas. But like, you know what, even overseas, it was like the last time I was here in 2013. You know, there used to be this kind of phone box thing. It's no longer there because everyone has Wi-Fi, you know, in the rooms and things like that. But like, it's like, you know, I remember making phone calls, you know, on a regular basis to my mom for the chats, and, you know, seeing how things are going up. So like, her influence is still there and it's still present, because that's what I used to be thinking about when I was overseas and things like that. And you never stop thinking about them, you know. Anybody that loses anybody will know that you never stop thinking about them. But in terms of my career and everything, yeah, she, since I was 7 years of age, Hilda Hurley, she's been, I suppose, the catalyst really for it all. But she's been a massive influence, and kind of taught me everything, and kind of showed me what motivation and drive and passion. I was lucky enough that I had that in me. But she also had it in her, so it's something that, you know, I got from her. But yeah, she was a character on and off the line, super passionate, a Glen woman at birth, if you want to call it. And then obviously, you know, when we started playing Camogie, and my brother started playing her in football, she soon transferred over to the Bears, because our kids were playing there, and became a very loyal Bears supporter. But yeah, it's kind of she was a character, a character in so many ways. You know, she was involved in the school teams and the Bears underage teams, involved in senior team with me, went to obviously all of my Cork games and things like that. So yeah, look, life is hard and it's sad. Those people are no longer around, you know, the people that you rely on before and every game. You know, after a game, you might say, oh, how did I do? And she'd be like, you're not moving quite so well there. No, I don't. It'd only be a one or two liner, but it'd be like, you know, it'd be like a right punch in the stomach to hear from her, because she'd said it as it is, or she'd say, oh, geez, we had a great game today, girl. And that would be it, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, look, these people, you know, when you have people like that in your life, I class myself as very lucky, extremely lucky. But it's just, you know, it's very unfortunate that I get to lose her, I suppose, when she's only 55 years of age when she passed away. So
too young, but yeah. Beautifully put. Finally, before I let you go, I wanted to get your opinion on, like, Cork under Matthew Toomey have come so close at senior level over the last couple of years. One player, when I look out in that pitch of a really talented panel, that I see a lot of the Gemma O'Connor when she was in the backs, is our own Libby Coppinger from down in St. Cullum's Club here in West Cork. I know you see as much as you can see of the Cork senior setup, but what your impression of Libby as a Cork senior, and how she's developed her game, you know, started out as a forward and certainly in the football in the dual sense, and moved into the backs, not dissimilar to yourself in your own career, and how important she is to the Cork setup, and what you hope for Cork for next year.
Yeah, from the moment I met Libby, I was like really impressed by her. I think any young person just needs to look at Libby and needs to meet Libby. She's extremely honest, very hardworking, one of the most hardworking players I've ever came across. She's a little ball of muscle, that's the way I describe her. She's tough as nails, and she's a super back. You'll get nothing easy off her. You need to be that. You need to have those kind of little characteristics as a back. You need to be honest, because if you're not honest playing, then you're going to get absolutely creased. She leaves no stone unturned. And she just has a super attitude, her approach to training and to games. And, you know, even just like any of the other dual players, like Hannah Looney and stuff like that, you know, I used to say to her, geez, I don't know how you're doing it. You know, you must be exhausted. But, you know, she'd travel up from Kilkill. She'd be traveling up in the morning. We used to train at 8 o'clock Saturday and Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock start. And depending if she wasn't in Cork City staying, she'd be down, you know, helping up the farm down below, and she'd be up asleep in her car, you know, getting a couple of minutes kipping before training, and there wouldn't be a complaint, there wouldn't be a whinge or a cry, it would be straight on the pitch. And you know, you have to take your hat off to people like that. And she's a super girl, and she's a big player for Cork Mullaghy.
Excellent. And very honestly put, much like in your book, just out in all good bookstores at the moment and available on Amazon.com. It's the Why Not a Warrior, the Gemma O'Connor story, published by Hero Books with the brilliant Sinead Farrell from the42.ie, detailing the life and times on and off the pitch and in the army of the fantastic Gemma O'Connor. Gemma, we've only scratched the surface on what is a terrific book. We don't have really the time to go any further on it. Delighted for you. Delighted you did the book.
I'm brilliant. Delighted you were. It.
And I'm delighted you're so honest in the book. And when I push a book and tell people I like a book, I actually read the book and make sure. If I don't like a book, I'll tell you that too. I love this. I absolutely love this. And I think any young boy or any young girl, whether they're into sport or not, there's a lot in there that will help them. And I think just a final word to yourself, that'd be the message you'd be giving. You don't have to be a sports person to appreciate this, because your army background, your family, your personal life, and just as well as the Camogie, it's all intertwined, but there's a lot in here for people to take from it.
Yeah, that's the main message I think I wanted to get across. It's, you know, it's for everybody, as you said, like, you know, the non-sporting people, the non-highly academic people, you know, everything, like any, all the struggles in life. It's like, it's for everybody, and it touches on everything, you know. It touches on school, work, sport, and personal life. So I hope people get something out of it, and that's the reason why you kind of did it. I did it for those reasons, and just to kind of help a few people that may be struggling, and obviously then to tell my story as a Cork Camogie player and put Camogie out there. So I hope it goes well.
Yes, so do I. I think it is going to go very, very well, and congratulations on it, and well done once again in all good bookstores and Amazon.com, here published by Hero Books, the Gemma O'Connor story, Why Not a Warrior. Go get it for this Christmas. And Gemma, to you, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us here on the Southern Star podcast, and continued success in wherever the career takes you from here on in.
Thank you, Jar. Appreciate it. Thank you.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Okay, Kieran, we've mentioned some of what's to come in this week's Southern Star sports section. So before we wrap up, what else can readers expect? And actually, no, sorry, before you come in, I just want to point readers to the fact that in this Thursday's Southern Star, as well as the brilliant sports section that Kieran's going to point us to as well, it's Christmas in West Cork season, and we've got a 128-page special about everything you need to know about celebrating Christmas in West Cork. We've got recipes, gift guides, what's on guides for all the towns. So if you're struggling to get in the Christmas spirit at this early date, you'll struggle no more after reading Thursday's Southern Star and the free 128 pages. Do you know how many pages that is? It's a lot, and it's free with Thursday's Southern Star, either in shops or online via the e-paper. So that's in this Thursday, Christmas in West Cork. It's an annual tradition at this stage. It's a brilliant piece of work by all the team at Southern Star HQ. Something to be proud of. And it's free in Thursday's Southern Star. Kieran, I can't do a harder sell than that. So now you have to outdo me with your sell of the sports section.
This week's sports section is an easy sell, Jack, because if you don't pick up this week's sports section to catch up on what's happened in West Cork, I don't know what's wrong with you, and I don't know how I can help you, because this is a top-class sports section again. So obviously, Dara McElhinney's in there, John Murphy's in there. I caught up with Munster rugby captain Jack O'Donoghue, the Waterford man with the very, very strong West Cork connections, to talk about his links to Inneskeen. And I also discovered that Jack was down in West Cork the day after Munster beat South Africa. He was down in Inchidani Beach. He ventured into Clonakilty after. He used the showers in Clonakilty Rugby Club. So this is a man with strong West Cork connections. So see Thursday's Southern Star for more on that. Also of news on the West Cork kickboxers winning medals at the Senior European WACO Championships in Turkey. News on the Facet Rally that's back on the National Championship Series next week. Some good pieces by, not some good, some excellent pieces by Matthew Hurley in Thursday Southern Star. He's one piece called Inspiration from Inniscarra. So what he's done, he's talked to a former Inniscarra manager about Sean O'Donoghue, who's the new Cork senior hurling captain for 2023. And this is a really good read. So that's really worth checking out towards his Southern Star. And he also caught up with Pat Nolan of Gabriel Rangers to chat about the recent Carbery Under-21B football final success. Now it's back-to-back titles for Gabriel's. And it's looks like they're going to go Under-21A next year. But there's some really good players coming through Gabriel Rangers. So Matthew had a good chat with Pat Nolan about that. And also Joseph Blake, friend of the show, has a new challenge. I'm not going to say too much more, but Joe Blake, our Adrigal correspondent to the Southern Star Sportcast, is a man on a mission, and he's climbing that GA ladder slowly but surely. So check out Thursday Southern Star for information on Joe and a lot more.
Brilliant stuff, Kieran. And as I mentioned earlier, if you can't make it to a shop for whatever reason this week, the Southern Star is still available online anywhere in the world via your computer, tablet or desktop. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/e-paper and read the Southern Star for less than €2 per week. Or even better, we've got a Black Friday deal on until midnight on Friday night. And if you subscribe in that time, you'll be able to read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for €1 a month for the first 3 months. That works out with something like a cent a day. I don't do maths very well, but €1 a month for the first 3 months. Again, just go onto our Facebook page or check out the promotion in the paper. There's a promo code you need to type in when you're subscribing, and you can read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for €1 a month for the first 3 months. That's the Southern Star's Black Friday offer, and I think you'll all agree it's a pretty good one. We're going to wrap up now. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, and thanks as well to our producer Dylan Mangan. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tamall.